We're back for episode 4 of the Bennett Brothers podcast for the Marvel's Falcon and the Winter Soldier television show. I'm Jerry Bennett.
And I am Joel Bennett. Here we are yet again talking about the latest episode, episode 4, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier on Disney Plus. Like Jerry had said, that title is The Whole World is Watching. We were watching. Were you watching? If you were watching, we're happy to have you here. We're going to talk about the latest episode and spoil it and talk about Easter eggs, comic book connections, cinematic universe connections, anything that pleases our fancy. We're going to talk about it. If you haven't seen it yet and you don't want to get spoiled, go and watch it and then come back and join the conversation with us here. Before we get started in this, though, we're going to touch in on our news segment that we sometimes do, because there was some news. And Jerry, what is that news?
Well, basically just two things that I was thinking of. First off, finally somebody has started a petition, fan launch petition, to recast T'Challa. Do not let that character just disappear forever. It's linked on our Facebook page, and I love it. It's fantastic. It should have been there. Again, this isn't even one of my favorite characters. It's just the concept of it. The fact that to cancel a character, or retire a character, maybe that's a nicer way of saying it, a character that has had 55 years of experience in the comic books, to now say, sorry, that character will never again be seen for at least a decade or more until they restart the MCU, if they ever do that. We're not going to see this character anymore. We're just going to replace the character and somebody else can fill the costume, because it's just the costume, not the character, is such a slap in the face, both to Chadwick Boseman's, you know, what he created, you know, and hopefully having an enduring legacy and all of that. So, I mean, I understand it was sad because he died versus being recast the same way they did the Hulk and the same way they did Rhodey. I get that. You know, I get the fact that Heath Ledger died and the Joker happened, but, you know, you don't kill the character off. And I'm just glad that somebody's actually put this up, and love to see that trend, because it makes the guy basically made the greatest statement, which I've said before, was this character has the potential to be up as an icon up there with Batman and Superman and Captain America and Spider-Man. You know, and that's not just the costumes, but that's the Peter Parker, the Bruce Wayne, the Clark Kent, all of that stuff. And if you just say, nope, sorry, it's after these, you know, 4 years, it's over with. And so, like, 4 years from now, people are going, oh, yeah, what was that, Black Panther? Or 5 years or 6 years. I love the fact that they're saying, no, this character could be the icon. It could be a character that lives up there and is an inspiration for whoever. What do you think of that?
I think this is a great conversation. I really do. I think there is no right answer or wrong answer. I think it's very gray. And I think smart storytelling can take care of a lot of it. Now, what Jerry, I think you're saying is, it's not recast Black Panther, it's recast T'Challa.
Yes.
So it's not, and the issue here is that Chadwick Boseman died versus, you know, when they recast Rhodey, it was about money. When they recast
the Joker,
that's not in continuity, though. This is all in continuity.
But you remember when people said that's it, mm-hmm. They can't have any
of
more Jokers, right?
Of course I do. I remember
when they did it with Jack Nicholson. They said, well, that was it. He's the only one.
But this is within continuity.
Like James Bond, when they
James Bond is not because an actor died.
No.
Right? This is the Hulk with
the different
actor.
That's more parallel to Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr., but the actor isn't dead.
I know.
So they wouldn't go and recast Robert Downey Jr. when Robert Downey Jr. is still alive. They'd probably figure out a way to get Robert Downey Jr. back in the movie. Mm-hmm. I think the parallel to this, because I've been racking my brain, because there's very few parallels to this, but I think one parallel to this would be the Harry Potter series recasting Dumbledore after the first Dumbledore died. Now, he did a great job, Richard Harris, and I thought he was amazing in it, but you didn't hear anyone going, oh my God, you can't recast it. That's not fair to the actor who
died. I don't know if
died.
That's even a perfect parallel, though, because that's one story over the course of seven, you know, eight movies or six books or seven books, versus this is a character that has millions of stories, thousands of stories, I guess, maybe better, you know. And so that's
the But if part. I'm counting the amount of actual words written, it might be even. And I get what you're saying. So the character of T'Challa, right? T'Challa is the...
Yes.
He has been around for 55 years. Black Panther has changed hands the same way the Flash has changed hands, or the Green Lantern has changed hands. Now, would you feel the same if, you know, say, we'll take Green Lantern and we'll say, who was the Green Lantern in
You picked a really messy one. Yeah.
Okay, maybe a Flash, right? There's Barry Allen, and if they, if the actor who played Barry Allen, and if what's his name, yes, you know, dies.
Or when his career implodes when he's going to do something stupid.
Well, let's say he dies. Career imploding is a little bit, again, also different. If he dies and they go, we're not going to use Barry Allen anymore, we're going to use a different Flash, you'd feel the same way, correct?
Correct. The character is the character.
Because you want to know.
The actor serves the character. The character doesn't serve the actor.
You want to hear more T'Challa's stories. You want to hear him dating Storm. You want to. I don't know any. I've never read Black Panther, so I don't know T'Challa stories. I know there's Black Panther stories.
And they're mostly T'Challa stories.
You can easily take a Black Panther story and go, who's the Black Panther that's in there? Is it T'Challa? You know.
That's only because you don't know the history, but that'd be the same way as me saying you could easily have, you know, Dick Grayson do all those Batman stories. Well, was Dick Grayson's parents killed that way? And does he have the same rope? No, he didn't, because you personally know the difference, just because you don't know T'Challa as well. And I mean you as in you plus most people. That doesn't negate those stories and versus, you know, just saying, oh, anybody can be. And actually, it's in the guys, the gentleman who put the recast T'Challa, he basically says, it's like, this isn't a throwaway character that you should just, like, anybody can fit the costume. And I thought that was an interesting point of view. His point of view was pretty good.
I agree. Again, this conversation is not about, this is not about getting rid of Black Panther. Black Panther will be around. Obviously, it's been passed down in the continuity of the MCU.
Well,
it's been passed down three times. I mean, it changed hands three times.
Yeah, but in the comics, it always goes back to T'Challa. That's just how comics are, and that's why they still exist, and that's why they're the number one attraction out there now. These movies are based on this number one attraction of, it's still going to be Peter Parker, it's still going to be Bruce Banner, it's still going to be Steve Rogers. They may be variants for a year or two when Bucky becomes Captain America or the Falcon does, but eventually
Morales becomes Spider-Man.
Until he becomes a different Spider-Man and they rename the character something else, which they should. Most of these, like they're doing with the Ironheart character. I don't want to get stuck on this.
I just thought it was an interesting
conversation.
It is a very interesting conversation, and I can see both sides, but I tend to lean towards the, you can recast him. Good storytelling will allow you to do that. We have a multiverse. My God, they can just easily go, here's the multiverse, here's a Black Panther from another universe that's come to ours.
Yeah, and but even if you there. Do that, and then you're already in a world, though, where we're recasting characters, so it's not, this isn't unheard of. You don't see General Thunderbolt Ross going, "Yeah, you look different, Bruce." You don't. You don't worry about it.
But that being said, you have made the point on this podcast before that stop creating new characters. There's hundreds of thousands of characters in Marvel that they can choose from. So why, you know, they
because
could
this one's a very
one.
Important character to a big percentage or a percentage of the population, and I can, even though he's not my favorite character, I really do like the character. There's a lot of people who he is their favorite and their role model, and I think it sets a precedent that I think is damaging to future characters that maybe ones I do like. Maybe they make an X-Men movie and they have a Wolverine that makes you forget about Hugh Jackman, and then something happens to that actor, like, well, we're not gonna do Wolverine anymore. I'd be like, hang, whoa, you know, I'd be like, let's not get rid of the
character. I mean, here's another example.
Last statement, but I'm going to say, though, is the actor serves the character. It's not the character serving the actor.
Yeah, and here's another example. I mean, they didn't stop doing Superman when Christopher Reeves gets paralyzed, right? Right. Obviously, he was older at this point, so he wasn't doing Superman in general, and they've already had other people play Superman. The interesting thing about this is it's in continuity, and they want to honor the actor, but they also want to stay true to the character. I think they can do a lot of good things with it. And again, trust Marvel. We're talking about Marvel. We're going to talk about this episode of Marvel and how much we love it. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt to do something good with this.
And your comment about continuity is really interesting, because we are at unprecedented times when we're like 11 years kind of into a continuity that we can foresee happening for at least another 10 to 11 years of this existing continuity. It could go longer.
Yeah.
And we don't know if it'll be a full switch around, or we don't know if we're going to get to a technological point of view where they're going to go, hey, technology is here now. We paid Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, you know, $10 million a year so that we can, you know, computer generate them onto something and nobody will ever know. And then all of a sudden it's not an issue at all. Or there'll be again, there's a million things, but it's weird because we're right at least in the middle of the current continuity.
Yeah, there's so many different. It is unprecedented, but there are so many other connections. You know, Obi-Wan Kenobi was recast, right? And he's now, we're getting an Obi-Wan Kenobi.
But that's the
TV
younger role. That's the Dumbledore being in the Fantastic Beasts, Why Are They Hiding This Week
It is, but we're also getting to the point where Obi-Wan Kenobi, I don't know where this TV show is going to take place, what time period, but he's getting to the point where he's the same age as Alec Guinness, at least character-wise. So no, I know. Why not use Alec Guinness and de-age him or something like that?
Why didn't they de-age Harrison Ford when they did that mediocre Solo movie?
Or if they're ever going to do anything else with the Harry Potter franchise beyond the main seven books, are they going to recast Snape? You know, actually he's dead, so I guess they can't the character's dead. Mm-hmm. but if they end up doing Cursed Child, who knows if something like that, if they're going to, you know, Alan Rickman, are they going to bring in another actor or what they're going
to
do?
Yeah. So I just wanted to point that out because that was kind of Marvel adjacent. I thought that was interesting.
It is very interesting. I think it's a great conversation.
The only thing I was talking about this week is there was a bunch of trailers that recently hit. Anything stand out to you? I know we had a new Loki trailer. I think we talked about that one.
We did.
But we have the new trailer for Army of Dead, which is a Zack Snyder zombie film. I thought that looked really impressive.
I know the music, because I love the song Gambler, is just a fun song, because I know we grew up with our dad singing that song all the time. But I know the trailer did one of your favorite things, a lot of to the beats.
It's like there's two trailers out there now, right now. This is the trend, people. Two trailers for the most part. There's the gun action one where it's, and it's all done through, it's basically started with the Suicide Squad trailer from the first movie when everybody was blown away by the clicking and the stuff, and now it's done ad nauseum. And then the other one is if it's a horror movie, and it has to be done like Us or a Get Out, where it's, and the violin's a little creepy and everything's turning, you know, it's, I want a new trailer. In fact, I'm tired of these two trailers.
The use of classical rock music with the guns, because that's also Suicide Squad, because we get Queen with the gun sounds and all that. I think that's a cheat, because I doubt we're going to hear the Gambler in the movie. I highly doubt it.
So I like the Jupiter Legacy trailer was good because there's not a lot of guns in that, so they couldn't do it. So they had to kind of figure out other ways to have, you know, the marketing department, the trailer people who just, you know, like, oh, well, this is the trend we're doing now. They had to actually kind of think out of the box for a second. They hated it. They hated doing that. I talked to them.
You did. I heard you on the phone with them. We hate it. And then they hung up on you. Yes, I don't know what they were talking about, though.
Hey, did you see that clip that got leaked from Mortal Kombat?
I did not.
This movie is going to be brutally gross. Unless this is the one scene that's gross. I saw it. It's like a minute and a half, not even that long. It's Kung Lao. It's like, oh, this is gross. We'll see. This movie is coming out.
It's going to be huge, Jerry. It's going to be huge. I don't care how gross it is. People are going to love it, because that's the same thing. I can't believe people play this video game. It's so gross, and it's one of the biggest arcade games of all time. So it's going to be huge.
That's a little news to talk about. That's all. I know this is a long episode. Not as long as next week's episode. Apparently, it's going to be over an hour long, including credits, for episode 5. But this one is getting up there, which we love. So we're going to get right into it now that I've wasted so much time. This episode is titled, The Whole World is Watching.
This is the title is a line from Black Panther when they're chasing down Claw in, I can't remember the country. He was about to do something and Black Panther was stopped and they go, the whole world is watching.
You know, this is a famous quote though.
I know it's a famous quote, but I'm connecting this to the MCU. So what'd you think?
This was good. I really enjoyed this, but this one I didn't enjoy as much as I enjoyed the previous three. I liked it, but the forward storyline progression, I felt that this definitely progressed elements of the story that we'll point out as we go through, and it definitely, you know, moved John Walker's story forward and Bucky's story forward and all of those pieces that had been not being pushed forward. But this one did not blow me away as much. It still was really good. But again, this one, if I'm rating out of the four of them, this one is the lowest. It's so weird talking about that, like saying, this one's not as good, but it's still incredible.
But it also could be the most important episode when it comes to the end of the season. You're like, everything here.
There's nothing I think wrong with it.
Sure.
It just wasn't overpowering me as much as the previous ones kept doing. What do you think of this one?
I loved this episode a lot. But.
Big but.
there are two things that I'm questioning in, as far as storytelling is concerned. And I'll just bring them up now. One, the idea that Carly blows up the building in last episode. Had she have not done that, right? And I still don't know the reason why. Like, she does it, and she's like...
Yeah, we talked about it. It's not really justified. It's
so,
a change.
It's so plop. Had she not done that, this whole episode, you would be so sympathetic to her the whole time. You'd be like, she's not a bad person. Sam wouldn't be able to be on his high horse and go, I agree with what you're doing, just not the means you were doing it. Because she never blows anything up. Sam would be like, I agree with what you're doing, and I want to help you. That's his only cover, because why is he chasing them?
Yeah, with a line of dialogue, something along saying that the super soldier formula that they took causes you to eventually get, you know, like there's a line of dialogue, like there's a chance that this actually could, you know, change you as you go and make you do irrational things. That would have been a justification in the storyline, other than, oh, well, she's doing it now because we need her to not be as sympathetic.
Yes, and they can still do that too. They can absolutely still come and say, hey, by the way, this is what's happening. Because
her storyline is totally sympathetic up to the point where she killed these people. And
they made a point of going. Oh, they made a point of saying, this is someone's only been working there a week and has kids.
11 injured, 3 dead.
You're a monster now. Like, you are a bad person now for doing that, because you had no justification. Mm-hmm. None whatsoever. Who's killed your people so far? The power broker is the bad guy.
The justification is all of these people are being displaced, and then in the dialogue they should have, while these people are being displaced, 23 of them have succumbed to illness and malnutrition, so that we can go like, oh, so it's not just people being inconvenienced and being poor and poverty. It's like, no, this is also called, you know, like 43 people over the age of 70 have been displaced and have died because they were elderly, and they would still be alive had this not happened. Then you could go like, oh, you know, life for life.
The only thing I can recall is they made a quote last episode about how there was like crates of food and supplies that weren't being distributed fast enough.
Well, how about this? Well, yeah, maybe that's it. Did Danya Madani die because of this? And maybe that's why, because remember, she went to see her and she died, and then she went out and killed people.
She died of tuberculosis.
That's true.
So, I mean, it could be brought on by bad living conditions.
But that was I'm trying to look for a catalyst in her storyline. I think that was it, so theoretically.
That's one of my, like, it's a plot device, and it seems very forced. The other one is...
Number two.
I think, again, this will get explained, but I'd rather have the answer now of what the heck is going on with John. I think if they would have... We assume... And I think it's fair that he is under the control of substances of some sort, trying to cope with his medical problems. We're assuming that, or it could be that he's not on any substances. He just has a lot of freaking medical problems from dealing with war.
Yeah.
But they're not explaining that. They're not getting into that, which means we don't know what's going on with him. So I think if we get this answer sooner and it's not a mystery, I think it would allow us to explore his character, not just through the writing, but from us interpreting the writing and what he's doing and what his decisions are and what we would make differently. I think it would be a better experience for the viewer. That's just, I could be wrong, and then come back and say, this is what has happened to him and now we know why. But I think it would just be a better... It would just be I would feel better off. Unless they shock us and they go, here's his history, and now we get to see it, and we go, holy crap, his history is messed up.
With two episodes left, doing a flashback with him and his stuff would have to be very surfacey and versus in-depth. And I think, if anything, we're going to have a flashback more with maybe Isaiah Bradley, and we haven't done that. So there's like, you know, even though these episodes are getting longer... We'll see how much room they do to
have Isaiah Bradley.
Isn't that what the original Super Soldier's name or the?
Oh yes, yeah. yes. I'm sorry. Yeah, he's been gone so long, I totally forgot about what they're doing. No,
I think he's coming back.
So those are my two kind of big nits. But other than
those are valid. And and we'll talk a little bit about this. I guess the reason I do look at this little episode a little bit less is because of those things you just mentioned and how that the story, some of the things move around in this episode, where I kind of went like, and again, they've raised the bar so high that I was like, you could maybe do this a little bit better. So there may be some nitpicking in here. Get ready for it. But, you know, maybe we can justify it or talk our way out of it.
Absolutely. So episode 4, directed by Carrie Skoglund. We start off this episode in Wakanda.
Or as my spell correcting says, Wananabe. Which I completely, and which is weird because we live near Wakanda, and yet somehow my spell corrector just went absolutely nuts here.
6 years ago, this is taking place, so a little bit before Infinity War.
Correct.
We get to see Ayo. You mentioned this last episode about them potentially having some sort of romantic
relationship. It hasn't been confirmed, but it hasn't. There's still in it. You can still see that mm-hmm. it possibly could be there.
Exactly. And I thought this is where this was going, and it's not.
I was hoping that, like, just a hand on the shoulder kind of thing, but then I realized he doesn't have a shoulder on one side, so that'd be insensitive.
Jeez. She goes to give him a massage, and she slips on one hand.
She goes, give me 10. Oh, I mean, give me 5.
She talks Bucky through the words, and I thought this scene, I thought Sebastian Stan in the scene.
Powerful
stuff. This was his best acting he's done that I can recall, because she's going through all the words to see if the Hydra words trigger him, and they don't.
He says it's not going to work, and then afterwards she's like, you are free. And it was a powerful scene.
Yeah, he was the emotion behind it, because he knew, like, how he loses control when the words are done. It was really good. And now we cut back to current, where we are now immediately taking place where the last episode takes off.
She wants to know, how could you free him?
Yeah, I thought this was great. The Wakandans are reasonably pissed that Zemo is out. Again, I touched on this last week about how, imagine just another country releasing the person who killed your president or emperor or king mm-hmm. or whatever sort of government official. You'd be like, T'Chaka, what are you T'Challa. Doing? You can't do that. So I thought that was a really good point. And she's like, you have some time.
You have 8 hours, White Wolf, and then we come for him. And also Bucky did say he's grateful for her and for Shuri. So we get a call out to Black Panther's sister.
We go to see, so Bucky walks in. He's like, yep, the Wakandans are looking for you. I bought you some time. I like this moment here where Sam is pissed off at Zemo for killing Nagel. But they didn't follow up on this. They weren't like, hey, you just executed a guy. You murdered someone in front of us. And we're just going to who cares? Like, is Nagel really a bad guy? Is he? He's a scientist and he's creating super soldier serum. But is he a bad guy? He never gave the super soldier serum to anyone. We don't know if his...
He worked for Hydra.
Oh, he did work for Hydra. Oh, kill him. Kill them all.
He worked for Hydra. There's the villain.
That's a good point, yes. They also make a great line here where Zemo's like, the serum corrupts everyone and makes you what you are and enhances it. And I like that. I think it was Sam's like, it didn't corrupt Steve. And he's like, yeah. Well, there's that. He's an outlier. nothing affected Steve. And I thought that was really cool.
And
then my question to you, Jerry, is have you ever had a Turkish delight?
First off, I hear they're terrible. But this guy says they're irresistible. Maybe there's some drug in him that he's doing that's going to turn these kids into super mini soldiers that he can kill. I don't know.
Maybe.
I've heard they're terrible.
I've never had one. There's a song, isn't there?
What's the first thing of you think of when you think of Turkish delight?
There's a song.
That's the first thing you think of?
Yeah, I think. Well, what am I supposed to think of?
Narnia?
No, I don't think of that.
I always think of Narnia.
But isn't there a song, Turkish Delight?
There's Rapper's Delight.
There's Rapper's Delight. There is.
Turkish Delight. It doesn't really.
Nice.
No.
Anything else you want to say about this scene?
Let's see here. Sam says, hey, she's talking about Carly. Carly, I mentioned the fact that they bombed 11 injured and 3 dead. And Sam's like, she's just a kid. And they're like, that argument.
She's not just a kid.
No, she's not a kid. She's an adult.
Yeah.
So, all right. Turkish Delight. So,
we go to Riga. Latvia, where we see the flag smashers all sitting around. This is where they hear the news radio about what she's done.
In the news radio, the information I thought was interesting, again, talking about the dead, but they talk about that the Patch Act is going to be used to help restore borders. It's the first we're hearing of this, as far as I know. We'll find out.
It's Nick Fury's work.
Or Logan's character of Patch that we talked about in previous episode. And also, even though they said this is because of this, they also made the comment that the Flag Smashers, there's a lot of followers being drawn to the Flag Smashers cause. So they did show the fact that there are people also not looking at this like with revulsion, but no, we're on their side.
Oh, I also want to point out that this place that Sam and Zemo and Bucky were at, I believe it's one of Zemo's places because he's obviously rich, so he has places all over the place. So,
you think so? Because I thought it's the place I don't know. I don't remember saying that. I know he said he'd been there, but obviously this is a building.
Well, he grew up in this area.
Yeah, but I don't know this was his place. Obviously, they're using this as a school and a refugee place.
But although, I mean, he has an apartment.
They're not.
A condo or.
They're not internationally displaced persons.
Otherwise, I mean, because he knows his way around the place. He grabs the coffee. I'm pretty sure this is his place where he owns this. Otherwise, they're renting places. I don't know. They go down to the place where the the GRC resettlement.
They're looking for information on Danya.
Danya, Sam's walking around. Everyone's ignoring him, running away.
The guy says he knows who Sam is, but he can't trust him. So I wonder if, does he know him in general or does he know him specifically? And I think we find out later it's specific because of when John Walker shows up and mentions that two Avengers walking around.
Yeah, this guy he talks to is a teacher. And his big issue is he's like, yeah, we've been promised help, supplies, other teachers, people to help with all the resettlement, and no one's done anything. And so they're very upset with that, and that's why they don't trust anyone, except for the Flag Smashers, who are actually giving them support, giving them money, food, things like that.
Yeah, we find out more about the cause of all this because we find out during up to this point, our only talk of the 5 years later in Endgame was Steve Rogers talking about how the whales are coming back. But it's like, oh, it's still terrible, even though that was all. And we would see a gray sepia tone image of most of the stuff in Endgame and how tragic it was. But in here, we're finding out that, no, actually the entire world was actually coming together. The borders, and then boom, everybody comes back. And of course, when you come back with that many people, you also come back with that many problems.
Yeah, they talk about how when everyone's gone, there's all these jobs. So there's so much work that needs to be done. So everyone's like, we need work. We need workers. We'll pay you more. We'll give you all this stuff. So people are working when everyone comes back. Then there's...
And if you're in a building and something like that, let's say you have a house. Let's say you have an apartment and these people come back. Do they kick the other people out? Do they have their 5 years worth of money? It's like that's what... this is a messy thing. Thank you, Tony Stark's daughter. I hope she was worth it.
There it is. I love it. I love it. So Zemo's also walking around this place, and he starts singing Baba Black Sheep, Jerry's favorite song.
What is that? What are you talking about? I have no opinion on that at
all.
No,
I know. I'm throwing you out there, Jerry. Maybe you did have an opinion on it. I didn't know. And he is able to get some of the kids to talk using his delicious Turkish delights.
I have no idea.
Reminded here.
What if they're made of turkey?
And lights. He lights. We are reminded in the scene that Zemo had a son. I had to go back and
kind of refresh. Two kids.
He had one kid.
Okay.
And because his wife and his son died while he was a part of a military organization, but they ended up dying with his dad, I believe. Or his dad died. They were staying in his dad's place, something to that
outside
nature.
Outside of
but he has a son, so he's been, he's lost his family and everything. Mm-hmm. He tells the kids that Sam and Bucky are very bad and not to be trusted.
I don't know how that plays out.
It doesn't.
At all.
No, it doesn't at all. But I look at it after watching, I'm like, that doesn't play out. And then after thinking about it, I was like, this is Zemo being Zemo and, playing with people's heads and playing games with people and turning their, he's setting up whatever his end game is, don't know.
Do you think they're missing out on an opportunity for him, like, drinking a Zima? Is there anything... No? All right.
I feel like we've already made that joke.
I don't know if we did.
Well, if he was drinking a Zima, that was a big joke in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. There you go. When Deke finds out that Zimas exist and he gets drunk on them.
Oh, wow. Nice callback. I thought when they get back to their pad and they're having that conversation and Bucky's getting all mad at him and Sam gets behind. He's like, don't engage with him because then he'll do that stupid head turn thing. I caught it the second time. Zemo looks over his shoulder, realizes his head's a turn, and he actually turns, straightens it out. I'm like, that was really a funny bit. I didn't catch that the first time. That was awesome.
Who knew
awesome.
Zemo was going to be the comedic relief in this
He will
movie.
Until he does something incredible. I mean, right now he's only killed a few people, so he's not that monstrous. You have to kill a lot of people.
He's shooting bad people, or bad people, according to him.
So we get in touch with Sharon Carter?
We find out in this scene that Sam is really still holding out hope for Carly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they get in touch with Sharon, who's in Madripoor. She talks with Sam as she's walking around. There's armed guards everywhere, and she's walking past them. This is furthering her mystery. She's a very this is a mystery I'm okay with, right? Like,
she's not walking the street.
What's going on with John Walker is that I don't want to be a mystery, but this is a good mystery. What's up with Sharon? And I think you still make a good point that, like, she was blipped out. So she came back. She hasn't been back that long.
Maybe she's still undercover for the CIA.
Yeah. Or she could be working with Nick Fury.
Yeah. But she has access to a satellite or two. So they're like, hey, we're going to need you later, which we kind of don't, but they mention it.
Yes.
It does make a reference that that's how Sam knows where to go to see Walker later. So, and we also hear that the power broker, Sharon mentions that the power broker was very angry when he heard about what had happened in Madripoor with the doctor.
But could she be the power broker and that's just a ruse?
Maybe.
I don't agree either.
It's a stretch.
But I think you're right that the power broker is someone we know. But I don't know who that would be. If it's going to be a big surprise or if it's going to be someone if it's going to be someone who's not in this show, but we know who they are, versus is it going to be someone that's in this show? I thought it was Zemo, but I think that gets rejected this episode. Carly and Nico, they get the remaining vials of serum from a cemetery. They're in a fanny pack.
And they did this.
Should have gotten a hard case fanny pack. Should have gotten them later.
But whatever.
Well, but it's not even, shouldn't have gotten them later. She should have used them already. What is she waiting for? She even makes it later on.
I don't know.
Like, yeah. Use them. Get them all down there. Then you have 20 people instead of 8, which is now down to, which is slowly dwindling down.
Two dead. Okay, so then we get to the street scene where Walker shows.
We also get a nice little moment here where Nico talks about how we used to idolize Captain America.
That won't come
back. And then he's like, Carly, you should be the next Captain America, which I thought was an interesting way. Because this whole show is about symbols, right? It's all about the shield and what it means. It's all about the United States and going around. This is all about the Flag Smashers and their look. This is what being a super soldier means. It's all about symbols. And I think this is important that he looks at her as a symbol, as a Captain America. Now, John, going back, they're walking the street. They bump into John and Lamar. John completely disagrees with Sam and Bucky because John is starting to become more and more unhinged. Again, I think it would be better if we knew why he was becoming unhinged, but we do not.
But kind of do how he realizes he's failing. He's failing all the way through. And that last scene where the one guy, where they're fine, where he got spit in the face, he's like, don't you know who I am? He's not succeeding.
Yes, and I agree with that. And I'm actually going to point out one more thing a little bit here. He reminds Sam and Bucky, he's like, hey, you can't trust her. She blew up a building. Again, if she never blew up this building, there would be no tension or any problems here. And Sam wants to talk to her.
He used to counsel soldiers, which we found out in Winter Soldier. Zemo, so then they agree to go there. They handcuff Zemo, and Sam has, quote-unquote, 10 minutes, and then Walker's going to go in. But, of course, Walker is going to be very impatient during this time.
Carly gives, a eulogy-type speech.
Yeah, my second walkthrough, I got to zip through this part.
Yes, exactly. So, John has little patience. There's moments where he starts to look like something's really is wrong with him. And I thought what was interesting is he wants to go in, right? And they make a comment later on about how he's always trusted his instincts, and that's got him where he is today. And this is a moment where he wants to trust his instincts, but they're saying, your instincts are wrong. We have to give Sam the chance. So I can kind of understand, if you've gone your whole life and your instincts have kept you alive and made you a hero and all that, if someone's like, no, you'd be like, screw you, my instincts are right.
Yeah, I thought this was good. I know the scene goes back and forth between Sam talking with Carly and him, but the scene when Bucky's basically at the doorway, I kind of realized I love that fact that it's like, oh, you can't get past Bucky unless you can convince him. And I think there's that dynamic where you think, oh, no, he can go in there. It's like, only if Bucky lets you to. I thought that was great.
Yeah, I thought that was good. I thought the Sam-Carly conversation was also pretty good when he's like, people are calling you a white supremacist, and she tries to defend herself, and then she's like...
She didn't say white, they said a supremacist.
A supremacist, yeah. I'm sorry. I wrote down supremacist. I'm so used to saying white supremacist.
You do say that all the time. I don't know why you do, but you do say that a lot.
Wow, what a Pavlov thing to do. Being called a supremacist, and she's like... And then she explains herself, and he's like, see? And she's like, oh!
You tricked me!
You made me say things I didn't want to say by going into my vocal cords and making me talk. No. And then we cut to our chase sequence.
Well, also, we had Sam made the mistake in this sequence of mentioning his sister, which comes back later, because he talks about, my sister is doing this.
And does that... it come back later, or did she already know? Does she already know?
Well, we know in the show, though, that was mentioned to bring it back, So, yeah, Zemo's free, and the chase is on as Bucky goes chasing after
And everyone kind of splits up because it's a maze, and eventually Zemo's the one
He was waiting in the right spot.
Yes.
Shoots Carly.
Shoots her. Gets a hold of the serums because they break because they're in a fanny pack.
There's vials everywhere.
And he steps on and breaks most of them.
Then he takes a shield to the face.
To the head. Right to the noggin.
I watched the second time. You do see him lying on a couch with a washcloth over his head.
He
should have a dent in his side of his head,
I wish he had a huge bruise on the side of his head, but obviously they don't.
I should put my mask back on because my whole face is swollen up.
John Walker walks in and he finds one of the vials
not broken.
And he's going to give it to Lamar.
Yeah. Now, and we see, obviously, Walker is clearly unstable before he gets the serum. And we get confirmation, and then they talk about that later when Bucky talks about how, I know crazy. I am crazy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's, we've been mentioning that for the last few episodes where it's like, why he looks a little off? Why is there, why are they doing a blurry scene? Why are they doing a close-up on him with a little bit of a shaky camera? Because that could represent in the film medium, could represent drugs. It could represent, brain injury. And
maybe he hasn't slept in weeks. I thought that. I was like, maybe he just hasn't slept. He's going crazy. Carly and her associates get away, the Flag Smasher. She's pissed at herself. This is the moment she goes, why did I wait so long to use the vials? And I went,
no, duh. Yes. Maybe I should go blow up another building. That works really good. And she gets a power broker text saying that he will end her if he doesn't get, or she doesn't get, or they don't get the vials. Serum. Yes.
Which this makes me go, okay, Zemo is not the power broker because he was the one who smashed him. And then why would he text her and be like, I want the serum? Like,
no, I never thought. Yeah, I agree.
That's why I was like, okay, unless Zemo. I'm hoping
he was in jail. They broke him out of jail.
I'm hoping Zemo's playing the long game, though. I don't know
his own
what
plan. His own plan is to kill them all, including Bucky.
But I mean, I hope he's even got even a bigger plan than that. But we'll see.
But we find out what their plan is here, which is the Flag Smashers need to separate them, as in Bucky and Sam over here, from Captain America, so that they can actually kill Captain America. And this is important here in context to the whole show with Carly killing people in the bomb and everything, and the fact that they're going to kill Captain America. They want to kill him, or at least she does, and they're the followers. And I want to point that out because it's going to come up in another scene coming up here with the intent to kill and how in this episode, especially at the very end, we're like repulsed by it. Like, oh my God, how could somebody die? And there's a scenes in this episode where like people are like, you actually killed somebody. It's like, no, you guys were all trying to kill people.
Jerry is talking about the scene here where the Dora Milaje now show up with AO and two others. And they now get into a big scrum because John shows up with Lamar. There's a whole thing, and we get into a big scrum here.
Does he not know how to turn a door handle?
Well,
he kicks in every door he comes to.
Well, I think it's, I don't know why he puts his hand on her shoulder.
Yeah.
He walks up, he's like, hey, we're just friends here. He gets really close to her and touches her shoulder. Like, no one's done that in the history of the MCU. No one's just walked up to someone and put their hand on their shoulder.
That happens
like that.
And anytime you want to have an action scene, if you want your one character to start the fight, the other one has to go, nah, come over here, buddy.
And they grab their hand and they twist it.
Yes. No, but also before this, we do see in the fact that, this was a conversation that Sam had with Zemo talking about how Zemo says super soldiers cannot be allowed to exist. And he goes, well, what about Bucky? And then CRISPR stopped because that's when the door gets kicked in.
Zemo would go, and Bucky too.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like Zemo has a personal relationship with Bucky where he's like, but I like Bucky. Like, no. Zemo would be like, yeah, Bucky shouldn't exist either. And neither should Thor or neither should the Hulk. They should all not exist.
So right before he puts the hand on the shoulder, we get a nice jurisdiction talk. I always love this kind of stuff. This is like, I don't have jurisdiction. Who's giving you a jurisdiction? Which country? How do you work? I know we talked about that before. And of course, that great comic of the Dora Milaje have jurisdiction wherever they go. That was pretty good. But in this fight happens here, and this is a great fight. The Dora Milaje are trying to kill both Cap and Battlestar. Mm. They are putting spears straight at him. And the spear was going to kill until Bucky reached in and grabbed it. And Sam had to step in. If you follow the logic, which I know that they were never going to kill him, but they're using these spear weapons not to knock him out. They were going down for death strikes, and that's when Bucky's arm reaches in.
Here's my two theories on that. One, they could just be not death strikes. They could just be going for wound strikes.
Okay.
But two, that one's more just funny more than anything. The other one, I don't think they were trying to kill them. When she throws that spear, she knows exactly to throw it right where the handle is.
I'm talking about the specific moments the Avengers step in.
Well, I'm saying, like, I think they're just doing it to defeat them and showing John and Lamar, like, hey, we could take you out any time.
Oh, I get that, but the whole
point
of the—
I don't think they were trying to kill them.
But then the Avengers should never bother stepping in. Like, sit there, like, John—
well, they're beating
Sam's
them up.
Sam's like, but we got to step in. It's like, Well, they're not going to try and kill them until both times they both step in is during what looks like killing blows. I'm just saying that's what the look is.
That's fair. That's an interesting point. I think I can argue that they were beating them up, and then they stepped in and go like, stop beating them. Like, they don't need a beating. No.
But obviously during all of this, Zemo goes down the giant biggest grate, the manhole covered grate there. He does an El Guapo or El Chapo.
It's his place. I said El Guapo. I say it's his place. So did you hear me say El Guapo?
I'm still with you, El Guapo.
Would you say I have a plethora?
And this fight sequence is great because we find that Bucky knows how to turn Bucky's arm off.
Detach Bucky's arm. This is important.
And she says something to him. I had to put the subtitles on. It's Wakandan.
Yep, it's Wakandan. We don't actually know what she says. Maybe someone out there who speaks Wakandan, like they speak Klingon or Elvish, they might know what this says. This is a big reveal in that Ao has said, you're free. You know, Black Panther. T'Challa's cured and all that kind of stuff.
We're giving you a monster weapon, but we don't want it used against us.
Yeah, so it's still control over Bucky. That's a real good point.
I didn't really focus
on
that.
It's really an interesting dilemma. I think he's gonna have to deal with next episode when he talks with them. Like, I thought you said I was free.
You're right.
You're not. You still have control over me. What other secrets have you put in me? Did you put other words in my head? Can you control me that way?
That's really good. I like all of that.
It's an interesting conversation.
We get that really great sequence when the other Wakandan, whose name I know is online, when she does the shield step, where she steps on the shield and it goes up. And there was a point where she looked like she was going to leave with it, and that's when Ao says, leave it. Mm-hmm. And people, I heard the question, like, why would she think she can take it? Well, it's because it's Wakandan vibranium that was taken from them so long ago. So if their enemy has it, which they look at Captain America, in this case, as an enemy, their thought was like, we're taking this back.
Whatever happened to his other shield? Cap's other shield. Why doesn't someone go get that?
It was like, an ordinary shield. Too.
It was vibranium, though.
No.
When you get that man a shield, and he has the black shield then.
Those two little ones on his arms, those are a shield. Those are lame.
Yeah, those are shields, though, because he calls them shields. I don't. I like this moment here where John is beaten.
And he says he realized they weren't even super soldiers.
Yeah,
this is eating away.
This
is a turning point because he still hadn't.
It's a turning point from what though? That's the problem.
But think about
this.
He went into this sequence here, and he already had the serum, but he chose not to take it yet. So it's not like as soon as he gets it, he's like, I'm going to use it right now. He still had another step, and he still is going to have a conversation. He still is, you know, not jumping right for it.
Yeah, and this conversation is very important because
this one coming up here. Where Walker gets his autograph,
He gets the autograph. We're really seeing the damage that war has done to John. You know, he's like, you got 3 medals of honor.
Yeah, but for the worst day of my life.
Yeah, and he probably, when I say flashback, we may see this day, like this battle where he may be able to assassinate some people or save some people, or like that, as they say, he could have saved people had he had the serum.
Yeah. I think we don't have to see that scene though.
We don't.
I'm saying within the context of history of how people have seen on the news and movies and other films that have dealt with stuff like the Gulf War and things of that nature, I believe that it would be fine to see it, but if we don't, they've given us enough information in here. Versus the Isaiah Bradley backstory, I think needs to be shown a little bit more.
Yes, and I agree with that. But I think this, going back to my opening statement, or one of my opening statements, is that if we would have seen John Walker have to go through some stuff, some bad stuff, and it's caused him some issues, he would be a much more sympathetic character.
But we've talked about that. Like, they can only make these characters so sympathetic. You know, again, if the point of this show is to have the Falcon throw away the mantle of the Falcon to become Captain America at the end of this thing, they're doing it the right way. They're showing somebody who can't do it and how he learns, you know, versus him starting the thing like, oh, you know, Steve gave me the shield, now I'm Captain America. They've definitely chosen a well put together storyline that will help people in their heads justify a new Captain America, because we've already seen what the wrong way to do it is.
It's really well done. I think you bring up some great points here about the main point of the story, about Falcon either becoming Captain America or Sam becoming Captain America, or where they're going with, obviously, Sam and Bucky, because they're the main people in the story. They're our main protagonists. I like when they gray up things, because right now it's like Zemo's kind of gray, but the Flag Smashers are bad because she blew up the building, and John Walker's bad because he's going crazy. But like, gray it up. And then if, obviously you can keep the power brokers being villainous, and you can have Baron Zemo being the villain. I don't know. I just,
again, just like the Flag Smashers last episode with the bomb building blowing up, this episode, John has been gray up to this point. We've seen good stuff. We've seen the joking. We've seen him be an arrogant ass. And we've seen like the signs of badness, but it's nothing that you can go like, oh, he's a jerk. But obviously by the end of this episode, we get that turning point of the no coming back. Well, theoretically no coming back moment. So yes.
Sarah gets a call from Carly. So Sarah, Sam's sister, gets a call from Carly. And I thought that the most important thing here was this really showed the reach of what Carly can do. She knows all about Sam's nephews and where they live and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's obviously just computer hacking, which we've seen them do.
And but Sarah says that she really doesn't care about America's whatever, the mascot. Captain America. Yeah, so she's over that. But obviously, when the next time we see Carly with Sam, she says to Sam, oh, I'd never hurt her.
Sharon.
But they get suited up, though. They get suited up.
Sharon is, we find out that Sharon is tracking John at this point. And so,
we don't know how.
Sam is confronting, Sam and Bucky are confronting Carly.
How do you think Sharon's tracking John? Do you think he's got something built into the shield? Do you think something? Maybe. Who knows?
Maybe, that's a good question.
But we see, when we finally get to this point, we see Cap busting into that room with a pistol, just like the real Captain America did in World War II, where it was justified that you could kill those people, but apparently now Cap with a gun is not as, everybody who tries to make a negative effect that this Captain America has a gun, it's like, I just rewatched the first Avengers last week.
And who's trying to make that negative?
There's definitely people in comments out there where it's like, our Cap doesn't need a gun.
Because he has super soldier serum in him.
Yes, exactly. But the idea of, well, he had used a gun, but we have images of Cap using the gun with, you know, when he's shooting.
A lot of guns.
In the original movie. And then again, I just watched the Avengers. There's that scene when Iron Man's trying to start the turbine on the shield helicarrier, and Cap's got the machine gun. He's not shooting to wound. He's like trying to keep these, you know, Loki goons back. So it's, yes, he's a soldier. We live in a world of guns.
Anyone's complaining about that, Jerry, about like our Cap doesn't use a gun, like don't read any more that what that person's opinion is, because it's a terrible opinion.
What's nice about though is that the more guns we have, the more time we can put a trailer together, we can have boop. That last one. Oh, my head.
So the firefight scene begins here. Somehow Carly puts on a mask quicker than you can take your clothes off, I guess. I don't know.
Get out of my house. Also, Cap realizing when he busts through that door, that's when we realize he's taking it, because he looks down. He's like, he's realizing, we see it on his face, his new strength.
Yes.
That door blasts through and he's like, oh. And we get confirmation of this in the sequence next when he throws the shield and gets stuck in the wall.
Yeah.
And then he rips it out. Meanwhile, Battlestar is being kidnapped.
Yeah, they've been kidnapped. Lamar's been kidnapped. And then John goes in and fights them. There's some interesting things here. So when he throws the shield and he gets stuck in the wall, then they fight him and then they disappear. And then he walks to go get the shield out. There's some twitches he does. Did you notice that?
He
has these little ticks as he's walking towards it. I thought it was really interesting. I didn't notice it till the second watch, but he's got ticks, and I thought that was really interesting.
We also got more fast running from Bucky when he's running through the street, because that was the scene when the whole Sharon's purpose in this episode, other than to remind people, hey, she's in the episode, on the series, was that she gave Sam the coordinates, and somehow Sam gave the coordinates to Bucky. He says, I'll tell you the coordinates where I'm going, and that's why we see Bucky do the fast run to get there.
And then if you had any questions about if John took the serum, that goes away when he's fighting the Flag Smasher and he's able to bend the bar.
Oh, that's when everybody, and that's when they're like, uh-oh. Yep.
So a great fight ensues. I'm not going to get into all the details of it. There's some good stuff in there.
He goes, what's with all the knives?
Yeah.
What was that really meaning, though? Was that,
there's a lot of knives.
Versus guns. I don't know. I guess I didn't find the relevance of that.
Because they needed to have the knife so Bucky can do his knife flip again. Not as cool as the knife flip in Winter Soldier, though.
What could be?
That knife flip is amazing.
Although I've heard people talk about, like real people, like it's an ineffective use because he does that knife flip and it looks really cool, but he does it right in front of Cap. So Cap realizes that he switched hands, so it didn't have any relevance. Like if you're going to switch knife hands, you don't let the person you fight see do that so that you can actually, while they're grabbing one hand, you were able to get it from another way.
I think it's incredibly effective. How do you think, how else would you kill the Night King? Game of Thrones well reference said. For you out there.
Joel's favorite episode.
I didn't even see it. So, I mean, there's other things that happen in the fight scene. Yes. when Falcon fires his jets to like blind one of the flag smashers.
Or uses that was his clever. Wings. Oh yeah, all it's
very
stuff,
clever
stuff.
Good fighting. But then this all leads to basically Carly. She ends up killing Lamar.
Battlestar saves John because they're literally going in to kill. She was going to at least attempt to take his life to kill Captain America.
And that makes sense to me. I'm okay with that.
And so Carly kills him, and then they're all like, what? Including all the Flag Smashers. Like, I can't believe we killed it. Now, are they like that because they felt he was innocent and they were just trying to kill Captain America only? I don't know. Because obviously they just tied him up. They didn't kill him while they had him. So I guess that justifies why they all kind of like are taken aback. Because again, every time we're in these situations where people are like, oh, you really killed it. It's like, what the heck did you think this fight was? It's not, you know, get the flags off of them in playing flag football. It's like, it's to take them down.
Mm-hmm. Well, as John goes down to mourn his friend and see that he's dead, they all take off. And then John jumps out the window, goes after Nico. I wish they would have done some super running here, but neither of them do the super running.
He does a superhero landing, though.
He does the superhero landing. And this is when John catches up to Nico, and he ends up taking his shield.
The guy was... he wasn't surrendering. He was just saying, it wasn't me. But it's like, no, it was you. You're part of it. Unfortunately, he was also defeated, and John does... You know, yes, he does it in front of the entire when the world is watching, because they all have their cameras, and that's bad. But at the same time, the guy was... defeated, and Cap went too far here.
Yes.
The same way Zemo did, but you know, not as graphic. Now, did he take his head off with this shield?
No. He was. I wish he would have taken his head off, but everyone's like, no, it's Disney Plus, and I'm like, what are you talking about? I can watch Star Wars where they decapitate people. I don't understand what you're talking about. Why he can't decapitate him?
But we get maybe that blood on the shield.
Yeah,
final
images. It's a great look. The idea that John goes the full way and ends up killing him versus we get Captain America Civil War where Cap does the same thing. Steve Rogers does the same thing to Tony. But he stops and he doesn't kill Tony. He just stops his arc reactor of his suit. And so we get to see the two different ways of thinking that there's Steve versus John, and Steve has the restraint to stop.
To not kill his close friend versus John, who's killing one of the people who just killed his best friend.
Well, Steve doesn't kill a lot of people. I mean, maybe he does. In the war, he does, but I don't know if he kills a lot of people nowadays. He throws a shield at them, which probably concussion and leads to brain damage, but...
But that was our final image. We see the world is watching, and we go to our credits. And one point I want to bring out here in the credits is, if you're watching the credits here, and somebody else, I heard this online in a couple spots, is when it gets to the cast parts, and we see Anthony Mack, and we see Sebastian Stan, and we see the different actors come up as their characters. You know, Sharon Carter has her spot, and Zemo has his spot, and we also now see that Io has her spot, because these are all the main people we're calling out, and Carly has her spot, and there's still one more slot for somebody's name that's not having them come up. It's just a graphic there. There may be two, actually, but there's at least one spot there for another name, which will probably get filled in this next episode. So speculating who this person could be filling in this spot in the credits, because I guess if you go back to the other episodes before we got introduced to Sharon, before we got introduced to Io, those spots were still there in the credits, but no name and stuff came up.
Ooh, interesting.
So because the background image, I think, has something to do with the GRC or has something to do with that, speculation... Who could come in, who could be justified to come in and dealing with John is, what about if it's Thunderbolt Ross? Because that would be an authority figure in there.
I like that.
And he eventually gets serum in him that makes him the Red Hulk, so who knows?
That would be cool. I think it could be, we've already seen him, it could be Rhodey. Don Cheadle could make more of an appearance in this, actually in the armor. You don't think so?
I don't think so. But that's I'm not saying I can't, but I just don't think so.
That's a good question. It could be Martin Freeman. What was the name of his character?
Everett. Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, Everett from in Black Panther.
He was in Civil War.
Everett, who is part of the United States, was from the United States and all that.
The CIA.
It could be him potentially. That would be an interesting appearance from someone. It could be whoever's playing the power broker.
Absolutely, it could be that. Everett K. Ross.
Everett K. Ross, yes.
Okay, so what did you think of the episode then?
Oh, this episode. It? No. I think this show is, there's a lot of messaging in the show. There's a lot of symbolism in this show. And I think it's really well told. And I think the fighting is great. It's really interesting. I'm just hoping that we get answers to some of these mysteries and we get a satisfying end to this, because I mean, what's the end? Like, you can't just like kill the Flag Smashers and like, and we've killed them, see you later everyone, because that defeats the whole purpose. The whole purpose is, from Zemo's point of view, is like, when they fought and then my wife and son died, the Avengers just left, and then everything was left, everyone else was left to deal with everything. And I think you have to be big world picture in this, that they can't just kill the Flag Smashers and all of a sudden, you know, no problems, because the problems are still there. And so hopefully they start to look at this in a broader picture, in a broader scope, and try to figure out how to fix a lot of these bigger problems that they created in the MCU. What about you? What'd you think? Any better?
I think I like this episode a little bit better. This actually made a difference. I still think we pointed out some stuff, but I also feel like by pointing them out, some of the stuff, we kind of talked our way through it. And even though it's not perfect, it's still, yeah, I really liked it. We're coming up. This was the end of episode 4, so we only have two more left to go. Episode 5, there is a mid-season trailer out there that I did watch, and they only show just one little thing or two little things at the end. I know, I don't know why I did it, but also Nick, I was just talking with him this morning about it, my son, and he was saying, like, there's a great line of dialogue at the end of the trailer, which will probably be in this next episode, or it could be in the next one. And it was like, it's enough to make you go, you know, it doesn't spoil anything. It's, you know, but I was like, yes, I'm very excited about that. And it was funny that he had the same reaction that I did. So yes, we're going to be coming back.
You're still insane. Let's make this clear.
I haven't watched any other trailers. This one, for some reason, I just glanced at that. I was in I'm normally staying away from them. And I don't want to see spoilers, especially since like after what happened with WandaVision.
It'd be like watching a 3-hour movie and being like hour and a half and going, I want to see a trailer for the next hour.
I have been staying away from them. I've been staying away from him. And they haven't really been putting out much, and that's good.
What if Quicksilver shows up? What if Ralph Boner shows up?
Oh, Boner. I'm hoping that's like the picture that comes up next, Ralph Boner. And on that note, don't be a Boner, be a Bennett fan. No, what does that mean? I don't even know.
You can be a Boner and a Bennett fan. That's fine.
All right, I'm going to let this one go. All right, guys, come join us again next week. I'm Jerry.
I'm Joel. We'll talk to you next time.